Praise be to God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. This morning, I would like to read to you a fictitious letter that was discovered by biblical archaeologists, dates back to the time of Christ. The author is unknown. And again, just to be clear, fictitious, I made it up, but I ask that you go along with me on this. Greetings. God's blessing and peace be upon you this day. My heart yearns to see you again, and I look forward to that day. But I'm writing because recent past weighs heavily on my heart. In my last letter, I told you about the terrible crucifixion of Jesus, my teacher. And I told you that I constantly reflected on those events. And I was troubled by my actions, or really, my inactions. You see, I fled from Christ when he was arrested. But I have to tell you now that I have seen him alive. Yes. Jesus is alive. And he's come back to us. Now, at first, I was extremely afraid for my life because I thought he would get revenge for the part that I played in his crucifixion. But that's not what he offered. You see, he offered me forgiveness instead. And not just for me, but for all of his disciples. In fact, for all of the world, everyone. You know that I followed him for almost 3 years, and I saw the miracles that he performed, and I heard his lessons of God. And I didn't understand much of it, and I still don't. But some of the pieces are starting to come together for me. You see, his focus was not on the resurrection of the physical, but on the restoration of the soul. He went around forgiving sins. And as an outward sign of that inward healing, he healed their ailments. I always stood as close as I could to him when he performed these miracles. And I stood as close to him when he taught. I wanted to learn everything, to see everything that he did. But my heart is troubled again. When he came back, he spoke these words. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. See, he's sending us to do what he did. He commands us to continue his work. Me, can you believe it? I can't do that. I don't have the knowledge to teach anyone anything. I was only with him for 3 years. What's he thinking? Doesn't he know I'll probably just mess it up? But he did say that he would be with me, so there's that. But I don't know. I just don't know exactly what he's asking of me. And he goes on. I had to speak to Peter about part of it. I wanted to talk to him about all of it, but he was grumpy at the moment. I think he's a bit stressed out. Anyway, Jesus said that we are to baptize people into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I asked him what that meant, into. And he asked me if we were friends. Of course we were, I told him. And then this is what he said. Peter said, what does it mean to you that we are friends? What do you get out of it? You get the knowledge of knowing that I always have your back. That I'll always be there for you and give you my tunic if you ever need it. And you know that when you're hurt, you can come to me and I'll do what I can to heal you. And when you're afraid, when you're upset, when you're happy, when you're anything, you can come and I will always make time to listen. When you need advice or a favor, I'll always be there and I'll always respond. Now, this is what it means to be my friend. Now, you know I'm married. And so because we are friends, you are automatically friends with my wife. You can come to her just like you can come to me. She'll be there for you in the same ways that I will be there for you. You see, when you entered into this relationship with me, you entered it into it with my wife as well. But here's the thing about my relationship. My wife and I were two separate people. God joined us together as one, but we're still separate in a physical sense. And sometimes we're close. Sometimes we fight, and we're not in communion with each other. Now, contrast that to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They are completely one, but they're also completely three. They're joined together in every way. And they're joined together in every way that my wife and me are not. They have a perfect union, a perfect relationship. So when we baptize someone into the name of the Trinity, and he said he had just made up that word, I kind of like it, that they enter into an intimate relationship with God. They're immersed into God and initiated into His communion. You see, this relationship is so much greater than any relationship you or I can have, or I can have with my wife. See, through this relationship, we receive everything that God offers. His grace, His mercy, and His love. But don't miss this part, because it's very important. Because we are brought into a relationship that is so intimate, so close to Him, we must be perfect. But we're not. We're sinful. And so Jesus took our sin to the cross, and He suffered the judgment that we deserved. And He traded it for His victory. So now we can commune with God because He sees us through the work of His Son. You see, in other words, we're forgiven and made perfect in God's eyes because He sees us through Jesus. Now, I told Him I understood all that, but still didn't know how the Holy Spirit fit into all of it. And so He continued. Do you remember when we first met? You were awestruck for some reason, and you had to get to know me. You wanted to be my friend. And personally, it was a tad bit annoying because you always asked if I needed anything. You were always in my personal space, and there was no social distancing with you. But when it comes to God, you don't want a relationship with Him. Actually, you want to fight Him. You are really an enemy of His. Now, I interrupted Him at this point because I just couldn't believe it. I told Him, sure, I ran. And I was afraid when Jesus was arrested. But I was never, never an enemy of Jesus. I never was an enemy of God. And this is what Peter told me. He said, I have a feeling that you're going to read this sometime in the future. But hear this. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior. You see, you cannot, by your own strength, by your own will, do anything but rebel against God. So during your baptism, He sends the Holy Spirit into your heart to take refuge. sends it into your heart to give you faith to believe in the forgiveness of sins and to recognize the relationship that you have been placed into with the Holy Trinity. You see, it's because of the Holy Spirit that you even want a relationship with God. Now, I wanted to ask him more, but I could tell that he was getting annoyed and wanted to get back to whatever he was doing. So I ended it there. You see, my dear friend, maybe I can do this go and make disciples thing. I have Jesus with me, an intimate relationship with the triune God. And I have the Holy Spirit working in me. What else do I need? I think I'm ready to go out into the world and tell others about Jesus. And I guess the intent of this letter has changed. Instead of information, I'm sending you an invitation. Will you join me on this mission? Will you go out into the world with me and tell others about Jesus? Now, this letter ends with a prayer. So I'd ask if you would pray with me. Jesus, you once told us that the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. I didn't exactly know what this meant after you were crucified and you returned to us. But now I understand what you want from me, and I thank you for sending the Holy Spirit into my heart so that I can proclaim this news to every person I meet. In your name we pray. Amen.